I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
What an intro.
Sorry, I just really wanted to listen to the end of that.
Just focus on the out-breath. Focus on the very end of the breath.
Ooh,
focus on the end of the THX sting.
It's a really good intro. It's very dramatic. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, it's the intro that always makes us question our patience, I think, of like, when
honestly,
do we start talking?
Yeah. Are you meant to fade it down or just like keep the suspense?
You know what?
I like
it's just going to keep us guessing every week now that you're the new Wednesday Drive host.
Woo!
I mean, no, it's good because we just got like a little meditation guide. Is that
well,
right?
Sure.
Let's go
like
with
the
that.
End of we'll that. Go with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to segue so well into what I'm about to talk
oh,
about.
Great,
so
great.
We're all feeling really calm and kind of collected.
Totally.
You're going to recommend like a horror.
Oh, let's.
Please
yeah,
don't.
In a way. I mean, if you've seen the looks on faces as I've said these next two words, it's horror. Would describe that accurately.
Okay.
Poop cruise.
Oh.
This is part of Netflix's Trainwreck documentary series. Trainwreck, colon, poop cruise. No pun intended. This is, so Netflix got a new series of kind of cheapo docos with, you know, just really nice tabloidy subject matter. They're
great.
all quite short, 55 minutes for poop cruise.
sorry.
Which is
what is that about?
No.
It's, well, this punchy doco is currently the third most viewed piece of content on Netflix New Zealand.
Wow.
And it follows a cruise ship that got stuck at sea and the toilet stopped.
Oh,
working.
No, I have
and
heard about this.
Yeah, and so well, what becomes evident as you watch this is just how critical this story must be in one of the most revolting sequences of modern cinema, Triangle of Sadness, because that does replicate... It ramps it up, but it does replicate some of the grossness of being on a boat while your feet are wet and stuff that your feet shouldn't be wet in. This is really fun. And
right. No, sorry, I just clocked that.
Yeah, it's gonna get a bit grody. It's gonna get a bit maybe too much for some people. But I enjoyed this kind of grotty little tale of people stuck at sea. It's and especially. Let's face it, Americans snuck at sea. And I think that lends itself to a whole bunch of other places your mind may go.
Right.
Diet.
Yeah.
Quantity of diet.
Yeah.
Inability to deal with difficult circumstances. The sorts of people who might go on a cruise ship for pure entertainment anyway, because this was a Gulf of Mexico cruise. It did have a stop or two where they could get boozed and come back into the boat blackout drunk. But really, it wasn't about the kind of cruise where you're like stopping at sites of cultural significance and everyone
right.
wander around. It was just like, let's just get fucked up on a boat for X number of days.
Right.
So that's there. Also in the series that I've enjoyed was Trainwreck, colon, Mayor of Mayhem, which was an even punchier 49 minutes. This is the story of disgraced Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, who smoked crack.
Well,
was the mayor.
They really do be just electing anyone these days.
Yeah, well, this he was, I think, like a lot of sort of populist politicians and people that may not have been, you know, on paper qualified for the job, seen in a little bit or framed a little bit in this doco as a bit of a precursor to Trump, and is kind of like,
right.
It's just a guy that he's just going to say it like it is, and he's going to be a big mess of a human, and that's why we like him, because the system sucks.
Yeah.
but as for those unfamiliar, or even I sort of recall Rob Ford's scandals at the time, but it was still nice to kind of have this short journey through a obviously a very troubled individual's life, but watching a video of the mayor of a city smoking crack in a crack house never gets old. and the third I'll mention in the series that just came out last night and was also a really great watch was Trainwreck, colon, The Cult of American Apparel.
And is this Trainwreck number two?
There's a whole bunch in the series now. There's previously there was a Woodstock 99 doco under this umbrella. There's an Astroworld one. There's a few others,
oh.
but I've I'm trying to figure out what the connective tissue of these three is that makes me so interested in them. Maybe it's just shit that I watched on the news when it happened. But The Cult of American Apparel is very well titled. It's probably the strongest of the three in an actual kind of documentary terms. Now that we're sort of 20 years on from American Apparel, there'll be a whole, like, there'll be one or two generations of people who didn't get exposed to it at all. Or it might be part of the nostalgia cycle, like the 20-year cycle, like the indie sleaze nostalgia. Never should it be forgotten that American Apparel was a company run by a mega creep who treated people like absolute garbage. Yeah. And that's kind of what this explores, as much as it explores the rise of this anonymous brand that arrived at the perfect time. So essentially it's the AS color of the 2000s. So it's like non-branded, enormous color palette, all the kind of shaped garments you could want at an accessible price. What they were really proud of and should be commended for was that they made their clothes in the US. It was a vertically integrated company, for better or worse, but they had a lot of good ethos. However, let it be said again, Dov Charney, the founder of American Apparel, was a massive creep. And the use of the word cult in the title is really accurate, because as it follows how they would recruit for staff, it's very much like recruiting for cult. It's like kind of bringing people in based on vibe more than necessarily qualifications. I think Dov had a real knack for spotting people like a good cult leader would, that would have a specific kind of weakness that he could later manipulate.
Oh, goodness.
But then also, like cults, you get people, you get this kind of groupthink mentality. Also, people insanely overworking. There's one guy talking in this doco about how he had to get payroll to check security camera footage to prove that he'd worked the hours that he'd worked, because he'd worked a normal working week of 40 hours, but also 132 hours of overtime.
Whoa.
Including a 36-hour retail shift.
That's insane. Wait,
but it's not that deep. Why? How are they working such long hours?
That, like, what are they doing?
The store isn't even open that long. I'm so confused.
I think that they, the Dov Charney, the founder and boss, was one of those dudes who, like, himself doesn't seem to sleep. And that's kind of culty too, right? Like, that's a real kind of connective tissue with, like, your Nixiums or whatever. Like, they all seem to be these guys who don't need a lot of sleep. Maybe the stimulated up, although that's not alleged in this doc at all. I think he's just a hyper guy.
Right.
But he's also a massive bully and asshole in the workplace. And then, as it turned out, like a hugely exploitative sex creep as well. This is also really well-timed, because he kind of got things going again with Los Angeles Apparel, which was the same sort of, exactly the same company, basically. In fact, he bought American Apparel's assets at their bankruptcy and reopened this new company with many of the same machines, which is kind of wild. But that has... just, I think that this week has just opened a bricks and mortar store in LA, like its first retail shop. So it's kind of the story starting over again. I'll save the surprise of who Dov ended up going into business with for those of you who watch the documentary, because he does find his perfect destination of business partner in the end. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
So that's the Trainwreck doco series on Netflix. These are El Cheapo docos. Like, they've got some good interviews. There's a bit of archive, but I exclaimed quite loudly in The Cult of American Apparel when they played a song that clearly was a rewrite of Kids by MGMT, but, you know, 30% different. So,
right.
But bad. A little zig, where the melody will zig when it should have zagged or whatever.
Right.
And, like, very, very clearly trying to evoke that time. This would be a better documentary if it was feature length and if had a bit more money thrown at it. However, I do like that they're all under an hour, and sometimes in that Netflix, what am I going to watch vibe?
That's
you kind of burn
a nice
so much
length.
Time looking that an hour's under an hour is pretty tempting.
Yeah. I feel like it's also really hard with documentaries. Like, I don't know, I'm not a huge documentary watcher, but when I do, like, it's quite hard to stay engaged the whole time. So if it's kind of condensed into something quite small, I mean, I feel like our attention span is just going lower and lower, but it's nice when it's condensed and you still feel like you've learned a lot in that kind of 1 hour or two.
Yeah, that's very pertinent here. And I think that these are also the whole series really does seem to be stories that are kind of ripped from tabloidy headlines, and so that it is information that we have consumed in little snippets and bites along the way. So there's something appropriate there. The other thing I'll quickly mention was I had a trip to the movies on the weekend.
Ooh.
And it sounds great and glamorous, but I had one of the worst experiences at the movie theater my life, and I can't wait to share it with people.
Oh, are you going to share it now?
Let's do that right now.
Oh,
so I went to see Megan 2.0, the sequel to the killer doll hit horror from a few years ago, directed by New Zealand's Gerard Johnston, who's back here for the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Gerard's listening, so I'd love him to understand what was happening during his film.
Shout out.
It was a 10:30 a.m. screening. I won't name and shame the cinema. It's not their fault. But I turn up and it's mostly empty session.
Yeah.
There's a trailer playing for trailer playing for I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's pretty gory. I wonder why there are three children under the age of 12 playing at the very front of the cinema.
Oh.
Are they in the wrong place? Oh, no. It looks like there's a mum. They've got a massive bag full of snacks. Oh, they're supposed to be here. This is interesting. Megan's rated M, so like technically no reason for them not to be there.
Right.
But these kids just played run around the theatre.
Oh, God.
Phone lights on, running up and down the aisles, chatting.
That sounds like my personal nightmare.
I'm trying to keep calm and also kind of going, you know what? Maybe it's not bad for three young girls to watch Megan. Maybe this is a good movie for them. And then they started making comments about the characters that they very much knew Megan, the first film.
Megan.
But some guy came in, he was a latecomer, he had a big gulp drink and sat down, and it was too much for him. He left after 15 minutes, and I thought he must have narked on the way out. Left a narc, but no, the behaviour carries on. And eventually I turn around to shush the mum, who I presumed like someone had come to join her, and she's like, oh no, she's just there on her phone. So she brought her kids to the movies.
That's
running around being nuts. She was on her phone. I asked her in a pissed off voice but with polite words if she could stop. And then she said, if you can't hear properly, just go closer to the speaker.
Oh.
And that was my trip to Megan 2.0.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And as far as an assessment of Megan goes, it's probably a bit unfair under the circumstances because I was not having a good time.
Yeah. Might have to be a rewatch in better circumstances.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Let's try it with just two annoying kids.
Yeah. Three's too much. We can't handle that.
Oh, that's crazy. Why would you? Okay, because like I'm scared of that movie. Like Mama's head does a flip. Like... Does it not? She can do so many things because she's not a person.
I don't actually know this movie. But
she does a crazy dance too. Okay. She's a TikToker. I'm actually spreading fake news.
Very much a crazy dance TikToker head spinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
All accurate.
Sorry, this is true. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And she's quite a cute little like peacoat dress. Like it has an empire waistline, right? It's really cute.
don't look at me for verification of that particular question. But this does open up the age old beautiful conversation of like, what was your worst time at the movies? Because we've all had them.
Yeah. I think just like similar things, just people talking. I've never had anything like stand out that bad, but I think I'm not a big movie goer for that reason. Mm. Like I would rather watch in the comfort of my own bed.
Because you hate kids.
I do. I'm like, you're joking, but I do.
I can corroborate this story. Mama doesn't like them.
No.
No, I think my dad always had terrible experiences at the movie theater when I was a kid because he's always asleep. Like 10 minutes in, and I look over and he's snoring.
That bad.
Oh, just a snore. Okay.
A snorer.
That's also hard.
On everybody.
Yeah, honestly.
It's okay. I don't think there were many people at the 11 a.m. showing of Surf's Up on a Wednesday.
What? Oh, that's wild.
Okay, so maybe the listeners go to the movies at grown-up times. Don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
go to see a horror sequel at 10:30 a.m. on the weekend.
Thank you so much for coming in, Steve. It's been so great. Yeah. I feel this is such a great way to start our
I know.
Yeah, I reckon. Our drive journey to get there.
Journey.
effing do it.
Yes.
All right. See you next week. That's something I haven't gotten to say for the last couple of months of doing this segment. So it's really nice.
Yay.
Yeah. Back here again next Wednesday.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.